to each and every one of you, my fish frying fans. It's time to celebrate. Ah, I bet you were thinking I was talking about some kind of July 4th holiday thing here in the USA, right? No. We have an international audience here at Fish Fry, and what I'm talking about is way bigger, at least in the international part of the deal. This here is the 100th episode of Fish Fry in its current podcast form. Of course, I'm Amelia Dalton, your host for today's festivities, and folks, what a lineup I have for you. First up, a laser light show. Yes, so just for today's show, I've hired a team from my local science museum to put on a special eye diagram laser light show to the music of Pink Floyd, of course. And then, wait a second, this is an audio... Oh, shoot. Well, all right then. Then fine. I guess that also means that the big balloon release I had planned for the finale won't be that exciting either. So let's just jump right into two of my favorite subjects of all time. Designing electronic systems and space. What more could a girl ask for her 100th birthday? Wait, that sounds kind of bad. Let's get started. My first guest is Mark McComb from Microchip Technology, and we're talking about the wonders of the ChipKit platform, how you can get started designing with one, and how you can build your own ChipKit board and start selling it right away. Hi, Mark. Thanks so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So first off, what exactly is the ChipKit platform?
The ChipKit platform is actually a collection or an ecosystem, if you will, of open source hardware and software tools. This platform was created for beginners, so anybody who's interested in using embedded systems for the first time. The cool thing is this system is actually based on Microchip Technology's 32-bit PIC32 microcontrollers. So this means you can actually take 32 bits and put it into any kind of little application that you want to do, like robotics or human interface. Basically anywhere you want to add intelligent electronics. The cool thing is the ChipKit solution was actually designed to be compatible with the Arduino platform. So this means that users can reuse existing resources such as things like Shield expansion boards for the Arduinos, and also this huge vast repository of software examples, code examples, tutorials, and so on that you'd find online. In fact, you can literally take code developed on an Arduino board, recompile it in the ChipKit software, and it should run with minimal to no changes on the ChipKit platform.
Okay, gotcha. So, Mark, why would I choose ChipKit over other Arduino platforms or other solutions?
The cool thing with the ChipKit platform, since it's based on this high-end PIC32 32-bit microcontroller, it actually provides the user with some really nice features like high-performance processors, anywhere from 40 to 200 megahertz. So if they want to really solve complex problems quickly, they can do so. There's a large memory footprint that accommodates larger user programs, or what they call sketches in this Arduino world. The nice thing with that is that there's a lot of integrated peripherals on the PIC32s that give you things like the ability to do advanced applications, including USB, graphics, audio. A lot of times these require some pretty big software protocols or stacks, but because you have this huge memory space, this actually allows you to get that on there. There's also libraries for all of this that have been created and ported so that they reuse that real easy-to-use Arduino programming language so users can get up and running very quickly without being experts in these technologies. The other cool thing, too, is that you can actually have a migration path should you wish to move from the Arduino world into maybe a some more professional tool. So if you want to do something in Microchip's MPLAB X IDE using our MPLAB XE32, there's really nice migration tutorials to do that. And finally, the best feature of all, I think, is that this is such a flexible platform that you can go from anywhere from this fully featured development board with all the bells and whistles like sensors and push buttons and LEDs and all that sort of thing, all the way down to a single chip solution, because PIC32 devices are one of the few 32-bit microcontroller families that come in a prototyping-friendly through-hole SPDIP package. So if you want to use a solderless prototyping area or something like that, you can do that without using specialized equipment and still program using that very high-level Arduino programming language.
All right, Mark, let's talk about the open source part of this. Now, what's the story there?
Okay, basically what that means is both the hardware and the software are open source. So if you're talking hardware, this means that anything that's available with the ChipKit brand on it, the hardware design files, the schematics, so the Gerber files, the board layout files, all of that is available as a free download that users can literally take and repurpose and build up their own boards. The ChipKit software that you use to program the boards is called the Multi-Platform IDE. This is an open source environment. This compiler that actually comes with it is open source as well. So that means you can take those files, modify them, and redistribute as you see fit.
Okay, let me get this right. I could build up and then sell my own version of the ChipKit board?
Absolutely. And
wow.
In fact, the ChipKit brand is trademarked by Microchip Technology, so it's available for licensing actually at no charge to parties who wish to build up their own ChipKit boards. So if you want to have a board and put the ChipKit brand on it, it's a very simple process of getting in touch with Microchip, and we'll send you over all the documentation. You fill it out, we'll review it, and then you could build your own ChipKit board.
All right, Mark, I'm on board. Where should I go for more information?
Best place to visit would be to go to the ChipKit website, and you can access that by going to www.microchip.com/ChipKit, or you could get there directly by just typing in www.chipkit.net.
Excellent. Now it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Mark, I know you're a big hockey fan.
Absolutely.
I know nothing about hockey. I understand the rules, and that's about it. So, Mark, who was the best hockey player of all time, in your opinion?
The best hockey player of all time? To me, that would probably be Bobby Orr. Otherwise, I think a lot of people would argue Wayne Gretzky. But to me, Bobby Orr just has a special place in my heart because we grew up watching him.
Ah, very nice. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Mark. It was super cool.
Thank you.
Now, next up in Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry Super Fantastic 100th episode lineup, space. I had the pleasure of meeting Cast Incorporated COO Nikos Servas a little while back. Did you know that there is Cast IP in the Mars rover? And furthermore, did you know that Cast was integral to the development of photos of Mars? Get it? Development, right? Because we're talking about Cast's JPEG encoder IP core. So, okay. Well, many of the amazingly spectacular photos that we've all seen from the surface of another planet, yep, those were encoded by this here IP. All right, let's check it out. Welcome, Nikos, to Fish Fry, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Nikos.
Thank you very much, Amelia. I'm happy to meet you.
So, first off, for my audience who might not know, what does Cast do?
Cast is an IP vendor. We develop IP, but we also act as an integrator and an aggregator of IP. So, we develop our own IP, but we also work with third parties, very tightly connected with us, and we integrate subsystems, taking IP of ours and our partners and maybe third parties, and we develop subsystems out of them.
So let's talk about your smaller code business. Now, that is a very important aspect in today's IP. Tell me what Cast is doing in that realm.
Yeah, we have our own 32-bit processor line. It's a proprietary instruction set. We have processors ranging from whatever an ARM Cortex-M0 can do up to an A7. And on the Tencel side, the sweet spot is that we provide smaller code. Smaller code in many embedded applications means lower power and lower area because the memory size is what dominates in many cases these type of aspects. For example, we recently had a closed business in China for a Bluetooth chip. This is a pretty cost-sensitive market and has to be low power and so on. What happened there is that our customer had to go below 128 kilobytes of code size because that reduced a few cents out of his budget, and that was the factor there. So it was pretty simple. Competition was up to 170 kilobytes. We stepped in and the CEO told us, get my code below 128 kilobytes and I'll go with you. And we did it within a week, and we just did a press release with that. So on the technical side, code size is what matters, and we are doing pretty well on that. Performance-wise, and tools are there, so we are as good as anyone else. but code size is a differentiator. And on the business side, we try to make it easier for our customers to go with us or even switch from ARM, because we don't do royalties. We don't mandate royalties. So if our customers have cost-sensitive, high-volume application, then the BA22 is really a smart choice for them.
So now I heard a while back that your IP core, your JPEG encoder, is in the camera system of the Mars rover. Now tell me about that.
Yeah, we have been doing compression since 2001. A lot of our compression cores are out there in the space, in satellites and so on, but that was probably the coolest one. So we've worked together with MSSI that was doing the camera subsystem for the rover, and the compression there is our own JPEG. They use that. So when you're in Mars, you don't have enough bandwidth. So what they did is that they sent thumbnails of photos down to the Earth, and the scientists would then choose, okay, I want this in full resolution. The photos were stored locally on the rover, compressed, and then on request they would be sent down to the Earth. And this whole compression was based on our JPEG cores. The famous selfie of the rover is actually compressed with our JPEG core, which is, we find it, you know, pretty cool.
I think it's pretty cool as well. So, Nikos, I heard that you're a tennis player. Now, I have asked this question a couple times. We'll see what your answer is. Who was the best tennis player of all time? Now, including players now and in the past, what do you think?
I would have to go for Federer.
Just so you know, Nikos, everybody says that answer.
Well, he's an incredible athlete. Duration on the sport. He has also the right ethics. There have been other great players, but ethics were not there. So he's a great character, a great player, and I just admire him.
Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today, Nikos. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much.
Just in case you want even more information about Cast IP on the Mars rover or Microchip's ChipKit platform, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page entitled ChipKits and JPEGs. All right, here it is. Time for this week's super awesome nerdy giveaway, courtesy of Maxim Integrated Products. Last week, I gave everyone the chance to win one of five Pixies, courtesy of Maxim Integrated Products. Well, folks, because I'm such a giving person and because we're here to celebrate, well, I'm extending this giveaway just one more week. So you too can have a chance to win a Pixie of your very own. Yes, folks, you heard me right. All you have to do to enter to win is to like this page on Facebook, facebook.com/eejournal. You can also post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com, email me at amelia@eejournal.com, or send some kind of bat signal. But I guess if you're in India or South America, I might not see that signal. So maybe email or the forum is best. What would you get if you won a Pixie? Well, let me tell you, the Max 11300 integrates a Pixie 12-bit multi-channel analog-to-digital converter and a 12-bit multi-channel buffered digital-to-analog converter. This device also offers 20 mixed-signal high-voltage bipolar ports, which are configurable several different ways. You can create some pretty sweet custom designs very easily using the Max 11300 configuration GUI software. And the Pixie ports provide a highly flexible hardware configuration for 12-bit mixed-signal applications. So, again, to enter to win, bat signal, email, forum post, or like this page on Facebook. Get to it. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/eejournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at eejournaltfm. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, well then, yes, you can join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 4th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.